This message is sponsored by Discover. Did you know you could reduce the number of unwanted calls and emails with online privacy protection? The latest innovation from Discover. Discover will help regularly remove your personal info, like your name and address, from 10 popular people search websites that could sell your data. And they'll do it for free. Activate in the Discover app. See terms and learn more at discover.com/online privacy protection.
This is the Rich Eisen Show. Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Let's get to your quarterback.
Touchdown! A one-yard touchdown run by Trevor Lawrence.
This guy, I mean, he just wants to be coached. He wants to improve. He wants to learn. You know, he wants to grow as a quarterback.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, Ravens running back J.K. Dobbins, senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer. Coming up from Prime Video's Nanny, actor Cinqua Wall. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, everybody. Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air, and we have World Cup soccer. Semifinals, France and Morocco just touched the football. First touch. We are in the first minute, and there is a ball bouncing around, and here is a pass. Imagine if I did this for the next hour. Would Fox call and complain?
I could call some people.
Express written consent of FIFA? They're passing it. They're dribbling.
Is soccer broadcast on the radio?
Of course. Yeah. What are you kidding?
It's not like hockey on the radio where there's constant action.
Have you ever listened to golf on the radio?
I have, actually.
Imagine?
I have. Golf. PGA Tour shot radio is away. Sirius XM.
The putt is away. I'd rather listen to soccer on radio more than
soccer.
That.
No.
At any rate.
It's like, you see a commercial where Boban's calling the basketball game? And he's like, he dribbled.
I like it.
I'm into that. I'm into Boban anywhere.
By the way, Coop loves, my youngest son loves himself some Kevin Harlan. He just digs it.
Oh, he's great.
I feel about Candace Parker.
He's great.
She is a dynamite broadcaster. Mm-hmm. I love listening to her. Her and Reggie and Kevin Harlan on TNT last night for the Celtics and the Lakers, a great listen. I really enjoyed it.
I enjoyed the three-man booth because it meant less Reggie Miller talking.
I know you don't like Reg, but Reggie calling the fadeaway jumper that did nothing but hit net to tie the game at the end of regulation last night in Los Angeles. Him calling it straight butter really brought a smile to my face. It was a nice Stuart Scott shout out. But it was also appropriate.
It was a sick straight butter.
And I'll say this. I know this is a very thin limb going out, but this MVP award is Tatum's to lose at this point. It is his
I think
to
on,
lose.
On December 14th, yeah. I
mean, it is his to lose. Right, how am I know this is a touchy subject, TJ. I'm sorry. Because
you say you're sorry, and yet every day you do something that kind of touched me.
But this is
weirdly.
A fact. Jason Tatum is the MVP of the association for him to lose at this point in time. And he is just amazing. And Jaylen Brown, the two of them can finish, and the two of them can crush it, and the two of them are just a dynamite duo. They are great.
And we're doing it all without Robert Williams right now, without our best defensive
player.
You
saw last night that when there is an individual like Anthony Davis, and I know he's a unicorn, but
he's playing great.
They had no answer for him. There was no answer for him. That's why the Lakers went on. And it was amazing how it took so long for the Lakers to finally put their stamp on the game, which they did with an insane run to go. The game was over, and then suddenly they go on a fourth quarter run where, what was it, 31-5 at one point in time?
Yeah, the Celtics were up 81-61, and then all of a sudden the Lakers are up 13.
They didn't have an answer. They had no answer for Anthony Davis, and they were playing small ball. Like Grant Williams was at one point leaning on him.
Yeah.
You know, and
which makes what happened in overtime so confusing. Davis literally got one touch in the five-minute overtime.
Well, it shouldn't have gone to overtime. And the momentum shifted in that game when the Lakers went up 13 and the Celtics hit a three and LeBron just inbounded the ball by
throwing it right to Marcus Smart, who lays it in. It was a 5-0 run in a span of 3 seconds. Right. Lakers snapped off a timeout. It was an 8-point game, and then suddenly 6, and then suddenly 5. Anthony Davis missed 2 free throws.
Should have won the game then.
And Tatum just doesn't miss.
12 in the fourth quarter for Tatum.
He's so remarkably good. He's the MVP of this league. I'm calling that shot now. He's definitely the favorite right now, isn't he?
I'm checking.
The best player on the team with the best record.
As you mentioned that.
And the Lakers.
Yeah, he's the favorite right now. He's plus 250. Yeah. Giannis is 3-1. Luka plus 350.
Oh, yeah. I mean.
And then it kind of falls off. Embiid next at 10-1. Curry 15-1.
France is already up 1-0 in the fifth minute.
Oh, we missed it.
Oh, that's all right. I'm watching you guys, talking to you guys. And so,
who ended up scoring? Was it Mbappe?
No. Oh. And I know you're doing that because you bet him to score?
I got a parlay action with
him. So if the Lakers get, what'd they get? About 90, they got just shy of 90 points from Davis, LeBron, and Russell Westbrook, who
he's playing great.
Who had a double-double. He had 20 points, 14 rebounds last night. They get that and they still lose at home? I mean, how do you, at what point are they going to win? You know, I mean.
Yeah, it's, they don't have the depth. Just have the three guys, and they just don't have the depth.
I don't know how they got what they needed last night in terms of also a huge lead at home. And I guess you could say they tangled with the best team in the NBA, and you could take that away from them. But from the game, or you could take that from the game. Can't take that away from them. But I don't know where the Lakers go from here. And, you know, Darvin Ham let LeBron try and win the game and let the time wind down. And LeBron took a terrible shot. I mean, just a terrible shot after Tatum made that straight butter turnaround jumper. He wanted to win it. And I guess Ham doesn't feel, I don't know, you let your guy win it. But, man, I guess next time that happens, you just pop off that timeout.
And they're only 2.5 games behind the Warriors for the 10th spot. Like, they're still right there. They're within striking distance. If they can make a move or two. And
What move are they going to make? I'll tell you what, the move that they certainly aren't going to make now is Russ, right? I mean,
probably not.
Or has Russ played himself into being a commodity that you'd want to acquire?
Either way, I mean, there's been a lot of rumors about Anthony Davis, too. Is now the time to trade him because his value will never be better? And you can get some of those draft picks back. You can get some young players back. But then that obviously doesn't fit with what LeBron wants, which is, let's win now. I'm here right now. I don't care about the future. I'm not going to be here in 2029.
Right.
Like, let's win right now.
Pelicans are feeling pretty good about themselves, aren't they?
I mean, that team is, like, low-key a title contender. Like Zion's next on the list on MVP. He's like fifth. You could get him at 20-1. It's sneaky good value because we see what this guy is and the potential that we all thought and hoped, but injuries kind of limited what we saw from him, and now we're getting the full package from Zion.
West is wide open. Since Chris Paul came back, the wheels have fallen off the Suns wagon a little bit. I don't know what happened right there.
Lost 5 in a row.
Ayton got hurt last night. He had to come out of the game.
Grizzlies are hot.
Grizzlies are starting to get hot again. And then in the East, it's the Celtics and the Bucks world. And can the Nets get it together to crash that party? Can the Sixers get it together? I mean, I guess that's the way you're looking at it, is we're a week away from their de facto quarter post point of the season. Christmas around the corner.
Well, we're a third of the way through it, Rich. I mean, we're already at the 30-game mark. So.
And one thing about the Lakers really quickly, they're 1-4 their last five. But if you watch the games, you'll see AD missed those two foul shots yesterday. Should have given the Lakers the win. And on Friday against the Sixers, he missed two foul shots. They could have won the game in overtime. So you're looking at a 3-2 stretch instead of the 1-4 that they're
I guess
right
to use the phrase of another GOAT who's, you know, towards the end, Brady referring to the Bucks as a yeah-but team. Yeah-but, yeah-but, yeah-but. So in the last five games, it's a lot of yeah, but at least
last five, foul line.
Well, the first 20 games was just a lot of but. Now at least there's a yeah. You know,
I mean, they're definitely playing better,
dude.
But
Davis, LeBron, Westbrook, almost 90 combined points last night. That's what you're you get that from your three, you should come out with the win. But Tatum, man.
Hurts.
Whew. Wow. And Jaylen Brown, I guess you got to say them in the same breath. You have to say them in the same breath. It's a Wednesday on the Rich Eisen Show. You know what that means?
Oh, baby. Yeah,
it's Wednesday. Let's you know what Rich. That means.
It's
know
Power it Rankings.
Yeah.
This is Power,
Power Rankings.
There are many like it, but this one is mine.
Power Rankings.
Yeah. All right, here we go. I need NFL Films music.
Oh, you
week
got it.
15 going into week 14 going to week 15. It's my, I guess, week 15 Power Rankings. Screw it. That's what I'm going to call it. Titans are out. Titans are off my list.
Out. Lost three in a row.
Titans are off my list.
Normally, you know, team loses three in a row, they go up a couple spots in your power ranking.
Make fun all you want. Make fun all you want. These are my power rankings. There are many others like it, but this one is mine. Number 10. Down two spots, the Miami Dolphins. I can't quit them just yet.
Ooh.
I can't quit them. They're hanging on my top 10 power rankings.
Yeah, they're fixing to be.
You know what? I it's salty to a man. Show up and just start flinging around. The offensive line, that's what Lewis Riddick said yesterday, that the offensive line is just not doing its job. The run game has disappeared, totally disappeared. And you got to get somehow, some way, Jaylen Waddle involved. Certainly if Hill is banged up. What a huge game on Saturday night. Dolphins at Bills in the cold. But they're cold, period. They're down two spots. They're number 10 on my list. And on the list, above them, new to the list, I don't think I've had them on the list all year long, but I'm putting the Los Angeles Chargers on the list right now.
Oh,
that's where I've got them.
You just made the list!
Yes, they did. Justin Herbert and whatever the hell, this whole social media, you know, quarterback thing. I don't know. I don't get it. I don't understand it. But he's along with Williams and Keenan Allen and Eckler. And if they can protect and have those guys healthy, that's a hell of an offense that can put up points. And if they get Bosa back and Derwin James comes back and they can get fully healthy going into December, I'd love to just see what this team can do fully healthy with a head of steam as opposed to constantly stepping all over themselves. So I'm kind of excited for you Powder Blue fans out there. Charge, indeed. They're on the list for the first time, number 9. Up two spots because I needed to drop the Dolphins down two. I'm so nervous and concerned about this team. But the Ravens are still on this list because they have one of the best defenses in the NFL. I'm looking at all the numbers in advance of the Ravens and the Browns. Since Roquan Smith came aboard, this defense is only surpassed in all statistics that can measure great defenses by the 49ers. The Ravens are that good. They are that good on that side of the ball. They've got a championship quality defense. If J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards can be that two-headed monster that they can be, get Lamar back. I don't know who the hell's going to catch the ball at the wide receiver spot. But still, if you're taking on the Baltimore Ravens on a football Saturday, like the Browns are this week on NFL Network, or a Sunday or a Monday or a Thursday, you better bring your lunch pail and they're number 8 on my list. No change. The Vikings stay like before at 7. I know that they lost to the Lions. I get it. And that you're looking at the Lions and you're thinking, well, the Vikings are proving that they're not all of that. How about the Lions are just frigging good right now? And the Vikings came within one score of them. And Justin Jefferson put up 200. Okay. And Cousins put up 400. And Cook is still Cook. And Big Z still Big Z. And they're still 7. They're a 10-win team for a reason. And I still got them at 7, and I have them beating the Colts this weekend to kick off the NFL Network triple header and clinching the NFC North. They're 7. Number 6, down two spots. I'm sorry, man. You cannot go in to a game at home.
Whoa! This list is fugazi.
You cannot go into a game at home against a 1-win team and show up thinking that you're the varsity and nearly losing the game and nearly, you know, you got to pull a 98-yarder out of your orifice to win. I'm sorry, man.
Something on fire over here.
I'm sorry.
Fire.
I'm sorry. And so you get a demerit for the week.
That's ridiculous.
You get a demerit for the week. And let's see you take on the Jacksonville Jaguars and show that you're the varsity and puff your chest out and say, okay, that team thinks it's arriving. That team has got a locker room that's believing. We spoke to the coach yesterday and Doug Peterson. That team is not all that. We're the Dallas Cowboys, and we're going to still have a shot at winning this division in the one seed. See ya. Out. Wow. And the reason why I put them at six is because I believe if they played a game this week against all the top five, they would lose. Number five on this list. Correct. Number five on my list, up a spot. I think Joe Burrow walks into Dallas right now. Joe Burrow puts it on him.
Didn't we put it on them already?
I'm just saying to you, what happened in the beginning of the season and now are two totally different stories. The rubber is meeting the road, and the Cincinnati Bengals are a top five team in the NFL, like I suspected they could be still, and like I believed that they would be, and I've been talking about for six, some odd 8 weeks. Didn't get off them when they were 0-2. Didn't jump off the ship when they lost to the Browns in a disheartening fashion on Halloween night. But that's the last time they lost. And I think if the Bengals walk into Dallas or Dallas goes into the jungle, they lose that football game because the Bengals are all that. The 49ers are up one spot. This quarterback with this offense and all the weapons around him and Dallas going into that spot with the defense the way that it's looking, I don't think they win that game either. And I say to the 49ers faithful,
drinking Kool-Aid, man.
I say to the 49ers faithful, you're going to have a good Thursday night. I believe it. I think the 49ers win that game. I think Purdy still does what he's doing. And this defense is championship quality. And the fact that they get Debo back too, they think before the end of the regular season? I don't know, man.
It's optimistic.
I know, but the fact that he's not gone means I'm still keeping them as a powerful team in my power rankings. And then the final three are no change. I keep the Bills at three, and I keep the Chiefs at two. Again, I know that the Bills beat the Chiefs, but right now if they play each other, I think the Chiefs win it. And then number one, do you know Jalen Hurts currently has the second most first down runs in the NFL? The second most amount of runs in the NFL to convert a first down. Jalen Hurts, not a running back. Jalen Hurts, and he leads the league in passer rating, too. This is insane what we're watching him do right now. And the defense is terrific. And they are beginning to maul people. They are beginning to come for your souls, is a phrase I continue to use on this program when I think a team is ready to beat you and beat you up and spit you out. They're playing right now the way that the Bills did in the first 4 or 6 weeks of the season, which was demoralize you. Don't just beat you, but leave you in a fetal position begging for mercy. And the Philadelphia Eagles are coming in Chicago. We'll see if they can win a game that they're supposed to and going away, to be quite honest with you. They're number one on my power rankings. So there you have it. Cowboys are down two spots, but I think they lose to the Bengals, Niners, Bills, Chiefs, and Eagles if they play them right now. I think they beat up the Vikings, Ravens, Chargers, and Dolphins, which is why I think I got them perfectly spotted at six.
Just depends what Dak we get. You get bad Dak like we saw against the Texans?
I guess you could say that about any quarterback, with the exception of if you get bad Mahomes, you're gonna beat the Chiefs. I think they can kind of overcome that. Greener. We haven't seen what a bad Hurts kind of looks like this year, except against Washington, would you say? Right? They won the turnover battle, which is what Lewis Riddick talked about. Push back. Go ahead. You have the floor. I'll give it to you. Do you think you beat all the teams that are above you?
Unlike you, when I do my list, this is your list. This is how you feel. So okay. I can't push back on your opinion.
No, I understand. So what's your list? Where do you have the Cowboys?
Number one, of course. What are you talking about?
Oh, come on now.
Embrace it, TJ.
After yesterday, it's like apparently my whiteboard like just invokes rage on people. So I'm gonna embrace it. Embrace number one, of course.
You don't invoke rage.
Well, you said that yesterday.
It's rage. Weird. I wasn't raging.
Not you, but you said people hate Cowboy fans, and then you use my grease board as
you provoke disdain,
which I find funny because all I do, Mike, is I hold up a grease board. And yet, I mean, you got some fan bases who I don't know like to pretend like they're Batista and powerbomb people through tables, and that's cute. But Cowboy fans say, "How about them Cowboys?" And all of a sudden, we're the worst.
Cowboys are up there with the
I embrace
one of those,
it.
Like hated, they're like embrace the Yankees.
Can I tell you guys about a wild Chris, I think I almost text you this morning about this. What if this happens?
Oh.
Yes.
Okay. Now, we all realize this, right? I think everyone, America, and
before you
the
go
world,
down this road, is this going to require a few minutes? Because we got next guest coming in.
Super quick.
Okay.
And we all know that the Cowboys are going to win the Super Bowl this year. Yeah. I think we all know that.
Sure.
But let's just say the Cowboys, for some reason, don't win the Super Bowl. I think Jerry signs Tom Brady next year. Hottest of hot takes.
That is super hot.
Why would Tom want to go there?
Because, I don't know, if you could win a Super Bowl with the Cowboys.
So,
I don't know. Like I said, I was just thinking, it's like, what's the most random, weird thing that could happen?
You are in the Dak boat right now. Yeah. That's it. You are sinking or swimming. You are sailing or you are docking. That's it.
I don't think it's going to happen. I just said that's just some high take that popped into my head this morning.
Boat. Yeah. I mean, if you want to talk about Brady's next destinations, you hear nothing but rumors that McDaniels and the previous administration weren't all in on Derek Carr, or still aren't. And it would be fascinating to me if they cut bait on Derek Carr just when Devontae Adams shows up to say, I want to play with my old college teammate. Yeah, and the answer is like, it's too bad. Hope you enjoyed 1 year with him.
But here's Tom.
Well, I mean, if they say here's Tom Brady,
consolation.
But then he could also sit here and go, well, what about the 3 to 4 years after that? You know, again, when you sign Tom Brady, you're pausing, if not cutting bait, on your entire quarterback plan.
Yep.
Okay. Just because, one time,
right. This is a one-off or a two-off. I don't think it's going to be a three-off like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have with Tom. I don't think he's going to play till 50. I think at some point you're already seeing some, and I dare I say it, diminishing returns. And I should also say this. The fact that Brady was handed an intercepted ball by Dre Greenlaw and asked to have it signed. Will you sign it? And the fact that he goes, no problem. Have you seen the NFL Films footage of him getting his ass beat in San Francisco in front of 100 family members and friends, and him being as, you know, as accommodating to...
Went up to everybody afterwards to say, great job, good game, good luck the rest of the way.
I mean, all the Niners were coming up and just paying homage, which was great.
I know it's like, great, but here's... I intercepted this ball. Would you mind signing it?
I mean, that was a great move on his part.
At any rate, I just bring this up to say, when you sign Brady, you are stopping your plan. Dak, and there's no stopping the Dak plan. You're paying him $40 million.
Like I said, I was just thinking of like what's a super hot take.
And then the other spot people are mentioning is San Francisco. I don't even know if they would do that.
I've heard Patriots rumors.
I've heard that one too, Chris. Like he might go back home.
Bill and him do it last.
But why would he do that though? I mean, you're not winning the Super Bowl in his 46. He's got a probably closing not. Window. He's got to go to a spot where he would win. Let's take a break. Cinqua Walls, the actor in the new film Nanny, which is available for streaming right now and also in theaters. He's also in the new White Man Can't Jump. He's also a diehard Clipper fan. We'll talk to Cinqua when we come back. You're hanging out with some friends and putting back a few drinks. A few becomes a few too many. As the evening comes to an end and people start to head out, you think of calling for a ride. Nah. You live nearby. You can make it home, okay? It's no big deal. What are the odds you'll get pulled over anyway? And even so, what's the worst that could happen? Your insurance goes up? You lose your license? You lose your job? You total your car? You kill someone? Everyone knows about the risks of driving drunk. The results are tragic and often deadly. However, that still doesn't stop everyone from getting behind the wheel while under the influence. That's why police officers are out there right now looking for impaired drivers on our roads to save lives. So if you think you're okay to drive after a few drinks, think again. Play it safe and plan ahead to get a ride. It only takes one mistake to change your life or someone else's forever. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA. This message is sponsored by Discover. Did you know you could reduce the number of unwanted calls and emails with online privacy protection? The latest innovation from Discover. Discover will help regularly remove your personal info, like your name and address, from 10 popular people search websites that could sell your data. And they'll do it for free. Activate in the Discover app. See terms and learn more at discover.com/online privacy protection. Back, our radio audience just returned. You saw a clip of Cinqua Walls, who plays Malik, a doorman who's all over the nanny in this movie, The Nanny. Is that a way? Is that one way that I can put it right there?
I mean, he makes sure that the elevator goes up and the elevator goes down.
Okay. Very good. How did you prepare for this role, Cinqua Walls? My gosh.
You just go
to random apartment buildings?
How did I research this role? Well, living in New York for a long time I had a lot of doormen, asking a lot of questions. I watched how they would have, the side eye and what they would really pay attention to.
Yeah.
And so it became really organic. No, I don't know.
But the parents of the kid involved being nanny, there's something going on with them, and that's part of the intrigue of this film.
The whole intrigue is that there's a good fusion, again, of like horror, suspense, thriller. There's an infusion of like the African folklore that comes from Nikki Atujusu being so aware of it, and that becomes the haunting. So what she does really well is she pulls on her cultural experiences and awareness to make the haunting so real in current time.
Okay. And again, Nanny is in theaters now, available for streaming this Friday. And another film that's coming out for you, you are playing the Wesley Snipes character in the remake of White Man Can't Jump.
That is correct. I've been
No pressure there.
No pressure, all the pressure. Only thing that I've heard is that, I happen to be a better basketball player than Wesley.
Ah.
That's something that I think I can confirm.
Okay. Who's telling you this, Cinqua Walls? Who's telling you this?
Everyone else that knew Wesley. Love Wesley. He's one of the people that I really do look up to in this industry. I've always said like his ability to have duality between the different films that he does, the genres of films. But when it comes to hoop.
Yes. And paying taxes.
Oh, wow.
I'm good at both.
Wow.
Is this thing on?
Someone, please call.
Your word is not mine, but I would have to say I stay responsible.
But I mean, when you came strolling out here, what are you, 6'2", 6'3"?
6'3".
You've got some height.
6'3", yeah, 6'3".
I don't think he's 6'2", 6'3".
No, but he's got a big presence.
So what is your game?
I was a point guard, actually. I was a point guard and a two guard in college. And so, I do a little bit of both.
At USF?
At USF.
I mean, we all know who went to USF.
We know the greats, right? Right. Bill Cartwright, Bill Russell, Casey Jones, right? Like, we know Phil Smith. Like, we know a lot of the guys that went there. So that's where I was confident that in the character I play in the film, Kamal Allen, that Kamal is a better basketball player than Sidney Dean.
Okay. And what about Jack Harlow compared to Woody Harrelson? What about that?
A better basketball player than Woody Harrelson.
Wait a second.
No shade.
I've played ball with Woody Harrelson.
They have been so kind and given us such a vote of confidence and love. But I had this question once before where someone had asked me, they said, it being called White Men Can't Jump.
Yes.
Can Jack Harlow jump?
And
I was like, I don't know about all white men, but Jack Harlow can jump.
He can jump.
He did all his own dunking stunts.
Damn.
Wow.
Every single one.
10-foot rim.
10-foot rim.
I got to ask. 10-foot
rim. I was about to say.
And he checked.
Valid question.
Really?
Just to make sure. Huh. He wanted to make sure that people knew for sure that it was him. He's very athletic. He's a very athletic person.
I would want to do my own stunts if I could dunk too.
The audience will come to see when they watch the film next year. There is a sequence of a play that we have where I'm standing on one end and I'm throwing around the back pass behind my back to Jack.
Yes.
And he has to catch it and then go dunk it.
Ooh.
And we had to do it 11 times and Jack dunked it all 11 times.
All 11 times?
All 11 times.
That's better than some slam dunk contests.
Most of them.
Some actual ones. There wasn't a replacement dunk?
There was no replacement dunk. All Jack. And I remember looking the first time going, whoa. And shout out to what we actually had on the movie. We had a collection of basketball guys who were still playing overseas.
Yes.
We're still competing in like the Drew League and things like that. And when Jack got his first dunk, everyone was like, and he kind of looked at us like, don't worry, I got this another time. And then he did it 11 other times.
Damn.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So did you play when Cinqua Walls, again, Nanny is in theaters now, available for streaming on Amazon this very Friday. When you were at USF, did you play against anybody that we would know?
I would say the best player that I ever played against was Adam Morrison. And I always say this because when people critique Adam Morrison and the short-lived NBA career that he had, the one thing that they forget about is that I think he struggled with either diabetes or something really intricate that was his health issue, that he had to take insulin shots during the game. And I think that catered to his body's ability to actually like maintain through an NBA season.
Yes.
Obviously, being a competitor and a gamer, he probably never wanted to acknowledge that. But when I look at it and I go, okay, 82 games versus 24 or 32, whatever it is in college, the level of performance I saw from this man when I was in college, 44 points, 34 points, 36 points.
He was a hell of a college basketball player.
And he came in when he was with the Bobcats. I think his first season, he averaged like 10.6 or 11 points a game.
Mm-hmm.
So after that was when we saw the decline. And I would have to think that that's because it's hard to modulate your health and that schedule when you also have a health deficiency.
So what about your fandom? Who do you root for?
In basketball?
Yes, sir.
I'm a Clipper fan all day. Let's go.
Wow.
Let's go.
Yes,
by the way, my sideline right here, you, Cinqua Walls, and then Rich Eisen Show, social media, Grandmaster, TJ Jefferson.
Let's go, TJ.
That's what's up. Since 1999.
Since 1999, baby. Elton Brand, let's go. Elton Brand, the first time Lamar Odom was there, Lob City, Darius Miles, Quentin Richardson. We even already know.
Michael Olden,
let's go.
You know, Eric Piekowski.
Piekowski shooting it up. Yo. I remember when Piekowski
wasn't even. What's the it that he was shooting up? What's the it that he was shooting up?
The three. Piekowski, he was averaging, it was like, 44% from the three.
Sure. Yeah, okay.
I remember when he didn't go to the All-Star game one weekend to go to Vegas with his wife. And they put it on Fox Sports, and I was like, that's right, Piekowski. They didn't invite you, don't go.
I mean, we had Keon Dooling back there.
Keon Dooling coming
Maggette,
through.
My boy.
Yeah,
he would dunk the ball and go like this.
Yeah. You're legit.
I'm a Clipper fan, man.
Why Clipper, not Laker?
You know, growing up as a kid, the Lakers tickets were too expensive.
Okay.
And the Coliseum would give you, you know, copy credit and a meal. They give you 10 tickets for a dollar and a hamburger. So you would go to the game, and you would write TJ, you would go to the game and root for the other team, and then eventually you could become a Clipper fan. And I was like, no, I want them to win. I don't want the Bulls to win. And so I just stayed in it for
you
years.
You might have got lucky and gotten the game, you know, back, you know. Mess around, get the triple.
And you get 10 tickets, a hot dog, and a hamburger, go home happy.
I'm just hoping that we get to see Kawhi and Paul George play significant action.
Me too. I remember a couple of years back when they both signed to the Clippers, and I was actually doing an interview, and I was like, I knew they were going to sign with the Clippers, and I was telling all my friends because I knew, you know, everyone was like, Lakers, they're going to go, and I was like, look, they're from a part of LA, both of them, where the Lakers aren't the dominant thing in their environment. So if they do play in L.A., they're coming to the Clippers. And I knew they were coming. So I can't wait for them to actually be able to be on the court together.
And win some basketball
And win
games.
The basketball that we know we should. I think now with Ballmer, we're starting to identify our own identity. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times we have been in that shadow, no matter how much we've performed. And it's like, okay, that's showtime. That's what that is. What's our brand of basketball? And as soon as the team has its own brand and its own identity, that's when it takes off.
Well, it's coming. I you know, spend my weekends and most of my time when not here at NFL Network, which is right across the street from SoFi Stadium.
Yes.
And it's now across the street from this beautiful building that they're putting up right there in Inglewood.
Yes.
I mean, the Clippers are going to have their own home. And it's going to be 21st century. You know, Ballmer's not like, let's just use a little bit less expensive flooring.
Yeah.
You know, let's just try cut corners here or there. You know, he's going to build something that's insane.
Immaculate. He's competing with Mark Cuban. He's like, look, we create the finest facility. The players want to be there.
Yes.
You bring in more players. You bring in more fans. You bring in more audience. You bring in more folklore. Boom.
Okay. So one day.
All day.
You'll go.
I promise you. Oh, listen, me and Billy Crystal. And TJ.
Oh, and Clipper Darryl. When it happens.
Don't forget Louis Gossett Jr.
We'll be courtside.
He was always there, right?
We'll be courtside.
You and Billy Crystal. Hold on a minute. In that order. Cinqua Walls, Billy Crystal, Clipper Darryl, TJ Jefferson.
Let's go.
So I'm going to hold you to that, too,
Louis
man.
Gossett Jr.
Hook your boy up with a ticket.
Say less, man.
Who else is there? I don't know who else there is. Kadeem Hardison, right?
Kadeem.
Wasn't he a guy as well?
My boy Kadeem. Riley. You know,
and the original white man can't jump, too. We're all going to be sitting courtside. Let's go.
And we're going Sizzler after the game.
Let's do it.
I love it. Hey, Cinqua Walls, you were in one of my favorite TV shows, Friday Night Lights.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes, yes,
yes. How'd you get that gig? How old were you?
I don't even remember how old I was. I was fresh out of college.
Fresh out of USF.
Fresh out of USF.
Trying to get into acting.
I remember at the time, actually, I was trying to figure out what was going to be my way in. And I had booked a couple of jobs, but this was my first actual recurring role. And if people don't know, like, a recurring role is like I had a standing space on the show.
You had an arc.
had an storyline. I had a great 10 episodes, and they paid all my 10 episode bills, and I was able to be like 10 episode actor. It was awesome. And it was in Austin, Texas, and I had never been there. And I remember at the time I was starting to audition, and I was doing these workshops, and I would meet casting directors, and I was lucky enough they'd call me in, and then they'd call me back, and I'd just stay in as long as I could. And one of the auditions happened to be Friday Night Lights, and at the time I was applying to go to grad school, and I was like sitting in this space of like, okay, well, look, if I'm spending summer auditioning, doing the best I can, and if I don't book a job, then I'm going to really focus on going to grad school. And I remember sitting in like, I needed some prerequisites to kind of complete everything I needed to go to grad school. And I get a call from my then manager, and I walk outside, and she was like, hey, you booked it. I was like, I booked what? She's like, you booked Friday Night Lights. You leave in a week. I was like, oh, well, okay. I go back in class, grab my books, and the teacher's and the professor's like, where are you going? I was like, not coming back. That was the sign.
I'm out.
I'm gone. And I was in Austin, Texas for a while. Got a chance to learn from some really great people. Kyle Chandler, Connie Britton, Taylor Kitsch, everybody.
You played Jamarcus, right?
Jamarcus Hall.
And what was his character's story arc again?
After season two, when they were transitioning players and some of the other players had graduated, he was the new running back that came in to take the place of Smash Williams.
Okay.
There was a whole, my biggest arc on that season was that I had lit some girl's hair on fire. My parents didn't know I was playing football. They had to come to the office. Coach had to explain to him why I wanted to play and this whole thing.
Full eyes.
Clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose. And I remember the funniest thing, shout out to Taylor Kitsch, because what people didn't realize, because he was such a brooding, good-looking, long, flowy hair, just great stare guy, is his sense of humor. He was hilarious. So
really?
I come on the show, and one of the things they were really supportive of was improv. And so having been a fan of the show before I was on the show, we're doing this whole huddle, and Kyle's getting us all, you know, riled up as players, and they're like, you can throw out whatever you want. And I was like, okay, cool. So I'm thinking like, okay, I'm a show that I've been paying attention. I've been watching the show.
Yeah.
So I say, yeah, clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose, coach. And Kitsch goes, that is so season two, bro. And I was like, and I look like, dang, I messed up. And he's cracking up. He's cracking
so
up.
So season two.
He said, that is so season
Get
two.
Get with
bro.
The
he
times. Said, so I love that two, show. Bro. That show, I would watch the episodes. And a great buddy of mine, Jay Stefan, Crazy Jay, he would call me up and he'd say, are you crying? And I'm like, yeah, I'm crying. He goes, man, me too.
Man.
Like, and we'd be just like, yeah, we're crying.
Yeah.
Like it was, it would really bring me to tears.
It got you invested. And
it did.
It did such a great job of making football a backdrop and just a gateway in so everyone could connect and be like, this is the thing.
Yeah.
And then life happens. And that's always like some of the best stories.
And you know, the best stories were involving the coach and his daughter, coach and his wife.
Amy Teagarden.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That's another reason to watch, too.
Yeah. I mean, Amy.
Specifically. Correct.
Yes.
Minka Kelly as well.
Yes.
Is this thing on?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was a hell of a program.
It was.
Okay, so Nanny's in theaters now, available for streaming this Friday, and then The Blackening is coming June of next year.
That is correct.
And that's when you'll come back to promote that and celebrate the Clippers championship.
I hope so.
Okay. And then White Man Camp Jump coming soon. Do we know when that's coming out?
I think it'll be sometime next year. They have not let us know yet.
Okay.
But I'm from what I'm hearing, it's next year.
Okay.
And it'll be another, so I'll be back twice.
Okay. You please.
I'll be
anytime.
Back twice.
Yeah,
before the playoffs and after the playoffs.
Correct. So White Men Can't Jump is going to be coming soon. That's after Luke Kennard proves it.
Yes. Lefty Luke. Come on, baby.
Come on, let's go.
Let's go. He'll get it done.
Who jumps higher, Luke Kennard or Jack Harlow? He can sky, huh?
Brent
How about
Barry.
That?
You know, that's a tough. That's
nice hey. Barry.
Brent Barry. Yeah, let's go with Brent Barry for sure because I know he won a dunk contest. Let's go.
Brent Barry.
Subach. Let's go.
I got Subach fans.
Vinny Del Fuego.
Shout out to Rick Brunson.
At Cinqua Walls on Twitter, at The Real Cinqua Walls on Instagram.
That's right.
Great to meet you.
Likewise, brother.
Come back anytime.
You. Thank you, man.
You got it. We're back with more on The Rich Eisen Show in a moment. Audible has everything you love listening to and more. It's the home of storytelling. There's no better place to find all the stories your imagination craves, like the hottest new releases of the year.
audiobooks, exclusive originals, and popular podcasts, including The Rich Eisen Show, they're all on Audible. Whatever you're in the mood for, Audible has an incredible selection of audio entertainment for you to choose from. Maybe you want to get the real story behind your favorite team's winning streak. Maybe you want to hear celebrities talk about their lives and careers. Or maybe you could use some pro hacks on how to better your business, better your relationships, or just get better sleep. And there's knockout performances from your A-list entertainers and comedians, too. The best part is you get to have it all, because with Audible, there are thousands of included titles that you can listen to all you want, and more get added every single week. So come to the home of storytelling and try it for free for 30 days. You can sign up right now at audible.com.
This episode is brought to you by 1923 on Paramount Plus. In Taylor Sheridan's new original series, 1923, the Duttons confront challenges, including the end of the First World War, America's industrialization, and the start of the Great Depression. Helen Mirren and Harrison Ford star in the new original series, 1923, streaming December 18th exclusively on Paramount Plus. Head to ParamountPlus.com to try it free.
Take on this holiday season with the help of Navy Federal Credit Union. When you use the Navy Federal Cash Rewards card, you can earn up to 1.75% cash back on all purchases. You can redeem your rewards as soon as you earn them. And using the Navy Federal mobile app makes redeeming easier than ever. Enjoy the rewards of cash back without any annual fee, balance transfer, or foreign transaction fees. There's no limitations on rewards, and they never expire while your account is open. Now, rates are variable and range between 12.65 and 18% APR based on credit worthiness. ATM fees for cash advances are up to $1 at non-Navy Federal ATMs. Message and data rates may apply. Visit NavyFederal.org for more information. Learn how you can get cheer to last all year with the cash rewards card at NavyFederal.org. Our members are the mission, insured by NCUA. Okay, so what's on tonight? Anything on tonight? Oh, yeah, the Clippers minus John Wall. Watch, I guess, Kawhi and Paul George play tonight because they won't play tomorrow night. How many guys play back-to-backs in the NBA? I'm serious.
Is this just because of fantasy?
Well, I mean, I'm paying attention to it more just because of fantasy, because Jimmy Butler's sitting out. There's, you know, where there's maintenance.
Maintenance.
He's sitting out.
Maintenance.
Wall sitting out. Clay sitting out.
Yep.
Why do they have back-to-backs in the NBA if most stars are not going to be played in back-to-back games? Why even do it? I'm serious. Like, why schedule back-to-back? What's the point of back-to-back games if most teams are going to be like, yeah, we're just not going to do it. We're not going to entertain it. So, and fans who go to the games, it's just a crapshoot. Like, why would any fan buy a ticket on the front or the back end of a back to back, when they know you know it's a 70% chance that any star that has any inkling of an injury within the last year? I mean, Klay Thompson is being rested because he hurt himself a year ago. At least that's the rule. That's the excuse that they're using, and I understand that they probably do their due diligence, science, to know that, you know, hey, if he plays 65 instead of the 82, it'll be better for us. Then why do it? Why do it?
Blake Griffin started last night. He started on Monday, the back-to-back. Blake Griffin is doing it. These guys have no excuse.
So who's Lillard plays every game, right? Jokic plays every game.
Yeah, Tatum and Brown have been playing every night.
Tatum plays every game. Luka plays every game. Durant plays every game. Well, actually, just sat. Didn't Durant just... I think he just sat over the weekend.
He's been having an awesome year.
I mean,
he's played 28 games.
Embiid, does he play every game?
No,
he does not.
He has an injury history, so...
Yeah, so why does the NBA do it if teams are just not going to comply and play everybody?
And the thing is, the NBA has changed the schedule in recent years. They're now starting it in early October instead of late October, which was what they normally do, because guys complain so much about the back-to-back.
Well, what about the tournament, the mid-season tournament?
I think that is the stupidest idea that's ever been proposed.
Well, I mean, mid-season tournament, people are going to sit that out for injury management? At least they don't call it load management anymore.
those games count in the standings, so they're not added games. So, you know, they're going to schedule 78, 79 games, and then this tournament in the middle of the year counts towards the 82. It's just, I don't understand it whatsoever. I don't get it.
You know, if some of these back-to-backs are on a Wednesday and a Thursday night, ESPN and TNT are just going to eat it on the altar of injury management. And these are nationally televised nights. Usually that's when you get a back-to-back, is a Wednesday, Thursday. That's usually what you get.
And, of course, it's a league partner, so they're being encouraged, hey, like, you know, your game is on our partner Wednesday and Thursday. Maybe don't have those guys sit out. Have them sit out the front end if you guys are playing on Tuesday or Wednesday. But, you know, I think that is here to stay. I mean, you see, especially older players, they just can't do the 82 anymore. So they're going to play the 60 to 65. That's like a perfect number for these guys.
I want to thank today's guests, Sinqua Walls, Albert Breer, J.K. Dobbins. I want to thank those last two for being good sports. calling into the show, knowing what's coming.
What's the J.K. touchdown call again?
The J.K. touchdown call is J.K. Allday is back in Ohio. And people who don't know, they'll just say, like, what's Rich doing?
Right. Kurt will probably say, what are you doing? What's that call?
Well, and then I'll say to him, just, you know.
Watch the Rich Eisen show.
Yeah, watch the Rich Eisen show, number one. And then number two, I want to see if he'll call in tomorrow. He couldn't do it today. Is he going to wear the jacket?
Oh, that's right. It'll be cold.
I mean, you guys got to do something. You guys got to do something to get yourself trending, Rich.
He did already text me to ask what I was going to wear.
Did he get the jacket back from Ian, though?
Oh, yeah, because he sent it to Iron Eagle.
Yes, he did get it back. Like the traveling jacket?
Yeah.
The other guys, I don't think Buck and Al were interested in, or Nance were interested in continuing the traveling.
You're looking at a high of 33 on Saturday, 15% chance of precipitation. I think you're good there. 16-mile-an-hour winds. It's going to be windy.
Well, we're going to keep, you know, you keep the booth open.
What are you going to wear, Rich?
I'm going to wear a zip-up sweater with a shirt and a tie.
Rakish hat?
And then jacket?
Then jacket.
Ski cap?
Maybe Rakish while hat? I'm calling the game, but, you know, if not I'm on camera, I'll take it off.
Got it.
I mean, I have a little bit of pride. Rakish hat. No Rakish hat.
National TV debut.
Please.
Hey, he's going to Cleveland. There's nothing Rakish about
No, I'm just saying it's in December. In December. No. There's no fashion statement to be made here. We're talking about actual survival here.
You get to probably see my man Nathan Zagora, who calls the Browns games.
Actual survival.
Absolutely. Check that out. Have him come by me, because I'm not. As soon as I get to the booth, I'm not going anywhere.
Oh, yeah. You don't know where you're going anyway.
I'll be camped.
So, Space Eater?
I'll definitely have him come by.
I don't know.
It
depends on how cold it is.
All right.
I'm not ashamed to accept that. This NFL season, every Westwood One NFL broadcast streams live for free. Mondays, Thursdays, Sunday nights, Christmas triple letters, every postseason game. The Saturday game. All on Westwood One.
Mason Rudolph splits first team reps with Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Well, Pickett's
there
in the concussion protocol.
Yeah.
And Trubisky threw multiple interceptions on the Ravens' side of the field.
Yeah, it was not good.
Multiple.
It was not good.
I think it was a lot of Trubisky looking up at the scoreboard wondering what the hell was that to review what he had just thrown. Man. So, yeah. Mason Rudolph. Hey, give him a shot.
Why not?
Tomorrow's show. Von Miller's on the program tomorrow.
Hey, now.
Bomani Jones.
Love it.
As well. That's on our Thursday edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Thanks for taking in this program on this terrestrial radio affiliate, Sirius XM and Odyssey. For those on Roku, stay right there. You see our smiling faces. 1-0 France at halftime. This show, however, is in full-time mode. You're hanging out with some friends and putting back a few drinks. A few becomes a few too many. As the evening comes to an end and people start to head out, you think of calling for a ride. Nah, you live nearby. You can make it home okay. It's no big deal. What are the odds you'll get pulled over anyway? And even so, what's the worst that could happen? Your insurance goes up, you lose your license, you lose your job, you total your car, you kill someone? Everyone knows about the risks of driving drunk. The results are tragic and often deadly. However, that still doesn't stop everyone from getting behind the wheel while under the influence. That's why police officers are out there right now looking for impaired drivers on our roads to save lives. So if you think you're okay to drive after a few drinks, think again. Play it safe and plan ahead to get a ride. It only takes one mistake to change your life or someone else's forever. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.